CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. CliffCentral.com. It is a Friday morning. Dumi Moraki is here with me. Leanne Moll's here as well. We're going to take you through your Friday morning, get you started right today. So, Dooms, first of all, there are a couple of people who want to know, are you going to be at the Fringe Festival? Someone asked in the comments, will you be doing the Fringe Festival? Are you doing gigs again? Is comedy back up and running?
I'm easing my way back in.
Okay.
I will not be at the Fringe Festival. It would be lovely to be, but heading back to the States next month just to go do some stuff, and then I'll be back.
Okay.
Just going to be out for a couple of months.
What's the go in? I mean, like, are people allowed to do comedy the way that we used to, or is it still small crowds and kind of a lot of online stuff, which is so difficult to do? You need that audience there, man. I don't think it's possible to do, like, really great comedy if it's just you in the room.
You mean here?
Yeah, in South Africa.
Oh, yeah. No, people are doing things, huh?
Mm.
My last gig that I did, usually it's a room that can take about 150. We had chopped it down to 60. And then we were like, but this Decepticon variant, everybody gets it so easily. We cut it down to even 40. And then so I had like a comfortable 40. And it's cool. I'm enjoying doing comedy in smaller spaces now. I've been doing a lot of virtual, though. So it's weird when you do have an audience, because then you've forgotten to give people that break to laugh. So they start laughing and you feel like they're interrupting. And you're like, oh, no, they... You know,
it's like when you're used to
just pleasuring you, and then now you're pleasuring with someone else, and then you're like, oh, I'm done. And the person's like, but even me, I must, oh, right, of course, sorry, my bad. But people need to get out. So the sense I've been getting is people just want to be out. But I just feel like you don't want to also perpetuate ignorance. So it's a fine balance. It's just that, I don't know. You know what? It's this thing of, we were told, okay, COVID respects elections, so we can go berserk for elections.
Right.
You know, no restriction, just campaigning like crazy with people breathing on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, now we're going, oh no, the elections are over. COVID is like, oh, I can come back. And then, you know, the messaging is messed up a bit. So
I just wish that
I think that's why a lot of us are still pushing.
I wish they'd come up with a better name for this variant. I mean, people, first of all, most people can't pronounce it. Some people...
Even me, I'm not sure.
How do you
say it? We put the emphasis on the wrong syllable in this one.
What
is it? Is it Omicron or Omicron?
Omicron.
Omicron.
Is it Omicron? Oh, yeah, okay.
Omi.
Well,
I think it's
Omicron. Omi.
A variant by any name would taste as cut. Does it matter how you pronounce it?
I know some people who've had it, and they say it's very mild. It's like it's not a big deal. It feels like a cold, basically.
Oh, I hope so, because I had COVID in July, and that mother effer was a mother effer. I was like, listen, if you're going to kill me. Can you stop playing with me? Like, that thing is evil, eh?
Really?
It was just like, I could, but I mean, must I press the button? Must I not? I'm like, listen, bruh, COVID, if you want to kill me now, because this toying thing you're doing is nonsense. Because it started off gently, and I was like, oh, I'll cope. And then I think it was around day 8 where my whole body was like, let's go, babe, let's go. And I was like, oh my God,
really?
What did I do to you?
Really?
It feels like it goes, ripe. Oh, gosh, I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
And then, then my blood started clotting, because now I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm going to come out of quarantine. And then my blood was clotting really bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My husband developed COVID pneumonia. That was scary.
Jesus.
But I feel like I should take some credit for him recovering, because I started telling him, when the insurance money comes... This is the young thing I saw last time. Sending your children to boarding school. And I think that helped him recover.
Came back from that.
Yeah.
Gee, I heard the most incredible thing the other day. Someone who works in insurance, apparently there are so many men in South Africa who've taken out insurance policies on their lives, right? But they don't tell anybody. Because if they tell somebody, there are a lot of people in South Africa who will murder you for the money that they can get out of your insurance policy. How's that? It's a big thing.
Wait, wait, wait. How would they know that they're the beneficiary? Also, they're saying don't tell people they are the beneficiary.
Exactly.
hectic.
Because people will, this is apparently a big thing here. I didn't know about this. This guy's an insurance.
Well, there was that woman who was just jailed for killing so many of her family members.
Oh, yes, the cop. Yeah.
Yeah. She, I mean, she made a life's business out of it.
Jeez. Tell you what, you...
But wait, had they all covered her in their policies? Like, was she that popular in the family? Ah, the most popular person of everyone.
So,
but wait, how? What is she getting?
I don't know that story because I haven't heard about that. But in the,
she was a beneficiary.
On all of them.
I was going to say, funeral cover is not enough to justify killing that many people.
No.
Like, I mean, we've covered people and then they go, you get Puma 5,000 nyana. And that's not worth, I mean, well, depending on how many, but no. Because you get something, you know? We have to cover each other. Surely you guys cover each other in your families. Like, you've got everybody just in case,
well,
no?
You'd think so. But like a lot of people, so apparently one of the biggest things in insurance is these unclaimed policies. So people, because they don't tell anyone that they are the beneficiary, these people don't know that these policies exist. And then the insurance company just keep the money.
Don't they try and reach you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're going to put in all that effort so that they can keep the money. Please, if you have 100,000 that doesn't belong to you and that person dies, like, I'll keep the 100,000. Nobody else knows, right? That's how they must be acting.
No, man.
I'm telling you.
But they make so much money. No.
These insurance companies.
They make so much money.
No. Well, where do you think they make so much money?
Actually, no. No, wait. Actually, come to think of it, maybe now they'll keep quiet because I think the most payouts have happened now over COVID. Since the pandemic began, I think they have lost a lot of money.
Have you got policies? Have you got policies on your life? Because you shouldn't tell anyone.
But the one you're asking me, I'm being dodgy. No, we do. And sometimes I'm always like for example, if we're driving and then he does something dodgy on the road and I go, listen, we haven't peaked at that amount yet for us to die. Like it has to be at a certain amount for it to be worth you dying. You can't, oh, you're dead, I'm going to get 15 million. It's not enough. Let me at least peak at 25 million. You know, it's good to know how much is there. So you go, yeah, you can die now. You can go. I want to release you freely. So if I know I'm about to score 50 million out of your debt and they're like, oh, should we keep him on the machine? He's a vegetable. I'd be like, no, don't make him a cauliflower because I'm about to eat. Let him go freely. I'm releasing him. So that I can enjoy the fruit of his love that he saved for me.
That's great. Oh, that's so good.
So what we've done is we've got this really cool one. I won't say which insurer it is, but it's a really cool one where even as a couple, we're like, who's going to take one for the team at some point? If we're broke? Because we've got this insurance where if one of us goes, our kids are going to be put in any private school anywhere in the world, including college, if any one of us passes away. It covers them like that. And they get like a ton of money.
That's great.
So we took out that cover.
Mm.
Yeah. And on rough days, we're always like, one for the team.
But you better know that you don't have murderous children if you're doing that, because there are also stories about these kids who find out that their parents, you know, but you have to do it in such a way, like if you are the beneficiary, you can't be found guilty of murder.
Yeah.
You don't inherit the money. So you have to almost get like someone else to do it.
Today's kids won't be like that.
You don't think so?
No, not today's kids. No. They're not made like us. If we were the kids hearing these things, of course we'd offer our parents. Our current kids are too soft. Those things are vulnerable. They're fragile. They don't have it in them. I doubt it. They are so Prozac and ADHD medicine and freaking Calmet and anxiety, what-what-head and psycho, what-what-head,
oh
too much. Our children are mollycoddled as F. They don't have it in them. They don't have the in them. I don't.
They couldn't do it.
No.
Wow.
No,
but also you've got to stay in your husband's good books as well.
Mm.
I mean,
yes. Because then there'll be a side chick who's going to come claim. Because, you know, as a side chick, if you can bring the receipts that this is proof he was paying my bond, this is proof he was paying my car, this is proof that he was supporting my lifestyle, now I must share my money because the woman has brought the proof. Mm. And then she's also going to take half of the Provident Fund because the Provident Fund, as a side chick, she's proven that she was dependent on him. She's chowing with me. So I just think stay in his good books just so he makes sure your majority of the shares is covered in your will. At least be in the will.
My God.
Because other things you can't fight. she's going to come with a lawyer and be like, yeah, but even me, I was a beneficiary. So yeah, be nice so well, that you're covered.
Lovely lady Lee says she disputes this. She says FNB say they proactively get in contact with beneficiaries of unclaimed policies and they integrate that with Home Affairs. Look, I'm sure there are rules, but I'm also sure that there are people who break them. You know, like we were saying earlier, I don't think everybody is doing the right thing here. There's definitely some stuff that's good. Listen, Dumi, what's the story about these people who went to space recently with a toilet that broke? What is this? I've never heard of this.
And I wanted to open that story so I can read it to you. But basically what happened is these guys are chilling there in space as nerds do. And the pee starts coming through the air vents.
Oh, my God.
Their pee. And that's when they realize the toilets are broken. Now, it's not like they flew with a plumber. And I'm sure they, in aeronautical school, they didn't teach them how to fix the toilets. Especially one that's in a freaking rocket.
So what did they do?
So the backup plan is they're wearing adult nappies.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I'm like, why are you guys telling us this? I don't need to know this. I don't need to know this because I'm going, wow. Firstly, it really finds the shit hit the fan because now if it's in the air vents, that's how they knew. And I'm just like, when these guys land, I want to be excited that, ooh, more history, hey, more science. Now all I'm thinking is, how do you smell? I'm going to be looking, going, do you stink? Because you're in, when are they coming back?
Yeah, it's not like you can open
it. But also, it's like they're supposed to be these heroes in our lives, right?
Yes.
I mean, kids aspire to be astronauts. They're supposed to be these amazing, brilliant people.
Right.
But now they're just going poo-poo and wee-wee in their nappy.
Like that's awkward, right? I mean, I'm sorry. I can't be like, this is Apollo 11 in my Huggies.
Well, just to go back to the policies thing for a second, Dude69 says, I told my daughter about my policies. I trust her. But my two sons, that's a different story. Those two fuckers will take me out. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Oh, that is hilarious. But you know what I realized when I looked at that space story, going back to the space story, is Americans like to overshare.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, I think, as a nation, they overshare. Because I really feel like it was unnecessary for us to know that these guys' toilet isn't working and they're wearing adult nappies.
Yeah.
But a month before that, it was Biden, remember, when Kamala got to be president for a day.
Yes.
And they were like, no, he's gone for a colonoscopy. We don't need to know. How many African leaders have gone for medical things in Singapore? Nobody told us what's wrong with them. They just said he's in Singapore for medical things. We're like, ah, do you, boo. These guys are like, wow, he's in for a little finger up the bum. Why? I don't need to know. And they give you details as well. They give you freaking details. They were talking about, oh, yeah, he was walking. They said his gait was more rigid and stiff. It wasn't as fluid. So I'm like, am I understanding these people correctly? They're like, he was walking like he's got something stuck up there. So we went to go check what's in there. Like,
oh, my God.
Why?
It reminds me of that story it was in the news. Anyone could access the story about a girl who had been found dead in her bed. But her pants were down because she was masturbating. I'm like, how did that information get out?
That's how you die. See, the journalist must have been female to say, ladies, you can give yourself a killer orgasm. I'm down for that. Me, if I'm going to die, that's how I must die.
But I do like,
that's the way to put it.
I do like Leanne's point, though, that, I mean, it's just, why did they have to say that? Doesn't she deserve some dignity in death? They could have said she was found dead in her bed. They didn't have to say that she had her pants down and she was masturbating. It's just so unnecessary, you know? Like, give the girl some dignity.
How did the autopsy show that the masturbation was involved in her death? Like, I'm trying to understand, how did they know she was masturbating? Oh, wait, was she using a toy? Was the toy found?
So many questions. Vibration. But I'm thinking, like, maybe her phone was open on a porn app or a porn site.
Oh, my God.
You know, but which family member, because, you know, journalists don't just walk around town looking for dead people in their beds. So which family member allowed that information to be leaked?
Yeah, it's horrible. Unacceptable.
Well, Is there indignity? Wait, where's the indignity? In the fact that her pants were down or that she was masturbating? Because if she was masturbating, she's naive.
I don't know that we should be having to have that information. Like Leanne said, if I died if I died that way, just say he died in bed. Don't say all the other stuff, all right?
Yeah. If you're the family member who finds me with my pants down and I've been masturbating and I'm dead, don't even tell any other family member. Just pull up my pants, turn off the phone, put away the toy, and just say I found her like this.
Put away the toy, depending on where I find the toy. Friend, I love you, your family, but there's a line. There's a line. If you went while your Lilo was still Lilo-ing, That's the corner's problem. Don't
imagine you find someone.
Yeah, and you're asking for too much.
The toys
I'm going to give you a family is not tell anyone.
You find someone and they are dead. They're not moving, but the toy's still going.
God. Now I'm going back in my head to the Nigerian Satanist car music.
We've come full circle. This is what happens. All right, listen. We got to get to Lee. So Lee Thompson was on the show a while ago, and he was, of course, the first bachelor in South Africa. He was the original bachelor. He's written a book, like a tell-all book, and he tells the story of what went on behind the scenes in the show. And he's here this morning to talk to us some more. Hey, Lee, how's it going, dude?
How's it going? Good to hear from you again, man. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. So you've written a book.
Well, I had a ghostwriter help me, but yeah, we've written a book, and yeah, it's coming out really, really soon. So looking forward to that.
All right,
so you've already made your purchase, haven't you?
Yeah. I've had an advanced copy, and we want to ask you about why you wrote the book and also what you've put in there, because a lot of people are interested. So Tumi and Leanne and I want to know what's the gossip, what's the juice in the book.
Well, obviously, I can't go into too much detail because that's the whole point of the book. Mm-hmm. But hi, Leanne. Hi, Zumi. How are you guys doing?
Hey, hey.
Good. Tell us what you can. Like, give us some little teasers.
Well, basic biography is just like going through my life. So starting from childhood, you know, there are a few traumatizing experiences there, and that kind of evolves into my sporting career, into my business, and then also into The Bachelor and a lot of questions that people have. Will be answered, mm-hmm. Because obviously with the show you only really see the edited version,
right.
The version that they want you to see.
Right.
So I'm just revealing the truth, hence the truth behind the rose, and I'm looking forward to telling the public what's really happening and what really goes down. And I think that we owe that to them. And I hope this book can change people's lives at the same time.
All right. Well, I mean, Leanne watched the show. She was like the biggest fan of the show. She still watches all the Bachelors from all over the world. I mean, it's obviously got nothing
Bachelor
to do
Nation.
With it.
Yeah,
it's got nothing to
I
do
remember
with
from last time.
It's got nothing to do with how single she is or any of that, right? But I'm kind of interested. Like, do you think people still care? I mean, your season of The Bachelor ended when? Like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, so.
Do you think people are still? Do you think people are still interested? Like, because the show's done, and they've already moved on. We've already haven't we had another Bachelor or two in between? How many have there been, Leanne?
We've had a. You tell us, Leanne. I'm actually not sure. You told me.
It was the Bachelor, and then it was the Bachelor again, and then it was. We haven't had a bachelorette though.
We have actually.
We have.
We have. But it was during COVID, so things got tricky, and a lot of things that were kind of put on hold and worked around. So I don't know exactly how those structures work with COVID, but so it's been a while. But there's been one with me, two with Mark, and three with Coliso. And the reason why I think my book's going to make it relevant again, and obviously it being.
Okay.
One of the highest viewed shows around the world.
Right.
It's a very relevant book that people are internationally taking a look at. So it's not just in South Africa, it's worldwide, and I think it will make it more relevant again.
Hey, did they try and stop you from writing this book, the producers of the show? Because I remember there were, you know, you had some issues with them, and they had some issues with you, and you guys did part on the best terms. Did they try to prevent you from writing a book?
No comment there. I guess that is a comment. The publicist, head publicist, try to email me, text message me, DM me, WhatsApp me, and I just had to block pay off everything. Wow. They really did try to get hold of me and get in touch with me, but I wasn't going to have any of it. So that's just the route I took. They obviously are afraid of things coming up that they wouldn't like to have come out, but I'm just going to reveal the truth and let's see what happens.
All right.
And on that note, I do have a few lawyers' letters which have been sent to me. So I'm getting on thin ice, but I'm not here to point fingers at any of the ladies, really, depending. But, it's more about production than what happened in terms of the behind the scenes and how they try to persuade things to work in their favor. And that, that bachelor bubble really got to me. And now that I'm on the outside, I can see it clearly. I watch the episodes over and over again, and I just see it in a completely different light now. So I'm thinking clearly, and I'm looking forward to the book coming out.
Have any of the, I don't know how much you follow the whole Bachelor vibe, especially
watch
in
my
US.
Season. That's it.
I'm wondering if any of the American bachelors and bachelorettes have written books. Because I always see it as this very secretive thing about what goes on. Yet they keep coming back for more. I mean, the bachelors and bachelorettes all go on to Paradise Island for Bachelor in Paradise. And they seem to just come back for more and more, and it's become their lives. This is who they are now. They only date people within the bachelor circle.
Wow.
100%. That's exactly how it seems to become. It's a relationship for the world to experience, and you make wrong decisions like that. But actually, speaking about that, I don't know if you know about the Winter Olympics, Leanne.
Yes, the Winter Olympics bachelors, yes.
Yes, so they were actually going to run the Summer Olympics, the Bachelor Summer Olympics, alongside the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because of COVID, it was suspended. So I was actually selected for that too, and I went to
LA. Wow.
So that is going to be another experience, but it's been put on hold now because of COVID and all that. So it's pending at the moment, but I don't know if I want to get involved with that again. But
I was going to say, so now would you want to get right back into that whole vibe again?
No, actually not. I don't enjoy the phone thing, so I wouldn't. But I just enjoy going to LA and meeting the producers and the team.
Have you seen the show from Colton, one of the previous?
Yeah, apparently.
Coming out Colton way. He's coming out series.
Yeah, apparently there's a series on Netflix about him coming out. I was quite shocked. I mean, all I remember with him is where he jumped over the fence. And I can relate a little bit, so I'll just want to have it back.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I have been completely,
the last five minutes
of what you two have said to each other, I feel like I'm on an alien planet, like the Winter Olympics.
I've never heard you say five.
Bachelor. I don't know what the hell's going on here. All right, listen, we need to know. What kind of feedback are you getting? Have you spoken to any of the girls? Are there people you talk about in the book who you didn't get permission from and that you might have to deal with later on?
Yes. Well, as I said earlier, there's a couple of firm letters just, making me aware of certain things.
Sure.
It's not going to stop me exactly with what I'm going to do, but I'm definitely going to have to change a few names and try and find a few loopholes with certain things, but I just want things to be factual. As much as possible. And I have had conversations with most of the ladies actually, to ask if I could use the name and get written authority for that. But a lot of them haven't really been keen for that, and some of them are. So I think we're going to have to change a few names.
All right.
Some of the ladies have been very helpful in terms of real information that went on behind the scenes, because I only got to see what happened when I watched the show. So I didn't know what the ladies were doing at the mansion or what they got.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's really interesting to watch for me too.
You know that after I've read the book, you and I are going to have to go for lunch so that you can give me the real names, right?
Yeah, make it a dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Dinner.
All right, well, you two are so into this bachelor thing. I don't know why you don't just hook up. Anyway, the point is that A lot of people are asking, didn't you sign an NDA, like a non-disclosure agreement with the producers when you did the show? And aren't you bound by that? Don't you have to honor that? You can't write a book then.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. So my NDA is expired. I did look into it.
Okay.
I am with Smith Attorneys in Cape Town, and they have been advising me quite firmly on what I can and can't do. Yeah, I'm very, very confident that I'll be all right with that. So the NDA shouldn't be an issue. It's expired. So,
all right, good. We have a couple of questions on that in the comments. Okay, so the book, when is it coming out? Because if people are interested, we can't wait anymore, Lee. Come on, tell us when.
Well, when you get emails like daily, like yesterday and the day before, you know, kind of was a few bit of a curveball for you, but guys, you can really bank on the end of this month or the first week of Jan, like definitely. And all I think people will enjoy reading that on their spare time on the vacation, and it'll be good.
All right. So, any questions from you, Leanne and Dumi?
Do you have your own lawyer, Lee?
Yes, I have two guys that are helping me out.
Cool. I needed to know.
Have you found anyone else since The Bachelor?
I have. I did find someone. She really helped me through a lot in that, but we more just decided to go the friendship route. It's quite a tricky time to be dating someone, and I've got a lot of things to focus on for now, but I guess I'm living up to the term The Bachelor, so...
You still got that going for you.
I'm a loyal guy. Let's say I'm a loyal guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people date these days. It must be really, really hard for people who are looking for somebody, because if you're not in that hookup culture of like Tinder and stuff, then it's nearly impossible to meet people in a normal way, especially since COVID, because people don't really go out the way that they used to, and most people people don't even know how to ask each other out on a date anymore. I see like friends of mine who are just they're completely like frightened. They're terrified of even meeting people. And I think it's becoming harder. It's not becoming easier.
Definitely, because we obviously now extract from society, so we're not as used to being around people, and then you have those Tinder chats and you say, okay, let's meet up, and then it's like, okay, what now?
Yeah, and people.
So you've got to get out there, but just
people are fine. They're fine talking to each other like this on the phone, but they're not so fine talking to each other face to face anymore. Right, Dumi? I mean, you were even saying this earlier. Like, people just sit there on their phones the whole time.
Yeah. Look, I'm imagining dating must be a little easier for guys, because guys are usually asking for space. Now we have to space out. It's COVID. Must socially distance. So I'm sure they don't have to awkwardly.
No, sorry.
Yeah.
I heard everything you said. No, that coffee.
All right, listen.
What's happening? Talking about good coffees.
All right, listen, dude. Good luck with the book. We will speak to you soon, and keep us updated if there are any changes to when you're going to release the thing.
I will do that. I'll announce an official date on social media quite soon. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Very, very good. There we go. Yeah, Dogoza says you actually meet better quality people outside of the apps. That's his comment on like trying to date.
Yeah, I'm sure. 100%.
So, Leanne.
But you must meet them with your own stick.
A lot of people are asking, like, what is Olympicking at The Bachelor? And then there's some answers. The meat pole vaulting. or doing the 50 meter hurdles in the buff.
No, I mean, they really milk it, and I don't mean any sexual intentional pun there.
Gonna say
they really do milk the whole bachelor thing, and they try and get everything out of it. Yeah. And it's quite interesting at the moment, because the host of The Bachelor is in a whole lot of hot water over what have been perceived to be racist comments on his side.
Oh.
He's been in the game for over a decade, maybe 15 years he's been hosting the show.
Yeah.
So at the moment they've got these like guest hosts, and it's all a bit messy. So Bachelor Nation's not very happy at the moment.
I love the way you refer to yourself as being in Bachelor Nation. I think that's so funny.
It's a thing. I promise you.
Wow.
Seriously, when you were,
and I thought I would outgrow it.
Yeah.
But here I am.
Have you ever watched this show, To Me?
No, friend. I'm just listening. The concept for me always felt like I don't have the English word for feverish. It just felt, I don't know, man. One guy, 10 chicks, and you're deciding which one, and then they're all throwing themselves at you. It just felt a little ho-ish. Like, I don't know.
But it works the other way with the Bachelorette, and it's usually 30 contestants.
Yeah, see, that one, I'm curious, but I still haven't watched it. I don't know. I struggle with reality TV. I don't know how to watch reality TV.
Same.
I have the concentration span of a gnat.
Same here.
But for me, with guys as well, because I don't know guys to also throw themselves, you know, at you and try and chum. So I don't know, friend. I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. Hey. I'm not a chick who can't even read romance novels. So maybe that's my problem. I'm just like, oh, gosh, can you just find one that fits and just go?
You know what, Dumi? I don't care about other people's relationships enough to watch a show like this. I don't give a shit who they end up with. Leanne, did you watch the end of The Bachelorette South Africa? Kliniso ended up with some dude. Is she still with him?
I actually totally missed out on that season for some reason. I may have been watching something going on in America, or in fact, I think I was watching The Bachelorette Australia at the time. So I missed out on that.
Jesus,
one.
With all these bachelor and bachelorettes on your TV all the time, how do you fucking keep track, man?
And then that it doesn't end there. I watch all of the Married at First Sights as well.
Wow.
The only thing I've banned myself from getting into is 90 Day Fiancé, because I thought I need to actually kind of rein it in.
This is amazing.
But yeah.
It's like an addiction.
Honestly, guys, if I was a dude and I'm dating you as a chick, and then you want to get pissed off that I'm dating other women, but you are a member of the Bachelor Nation, I'm going to say you're a freaking hypocrite, because you're happy to watch a dude date 10 million women to pick, settle on one, but when I'm doing it, I'm wrong just because I'm not in front of a camera. You understand? Like, I just need consistency in my life. So I would watch that thing. Now imagine my husband is there, and then I must explain. No, it's okay when he's doing it. No.
I love this. Cabello says, you mean que bufede? Febe.
Yes, it's very feverish, friend. But feverish. Isn't it, I must acknowledge that not everybody speaks our vernacular, trauma. I'm trying to accommodate everyone. Okay. And you know, our languages don't always translate.
Terence says, Cleniso is still with that guy, apparently, who she ended up dating. Okay,
that's
good.
Great.
Well, that's nice.
That's great.
Listen, I mean, when.
But then they must put cameras in the house so they feel like they're still on The Bachelor, so they make it work. You know, because I think sometimes then they go like, the cameras are off.
Absolutely.
But to me,
that's a huge thing.
We do have cameras all the time. People have Instagram all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
They can make themselves important to people. They can do this anytime they want.
That's true.
Fame is only a click away, everybody. If that's what you're after, there's plenty of it for you. Trust me. And you don't.
Dude, sorry, before you continue, speaking of fame, did you see that thing about the Harvard applications versus the applications for that Love Island situations?
No.
That this generation is more obsessed with fame than with empowering themselves or being educated, because they were like, Harvard had like a fraction of the applications that those guys get.
So in other words,
like our kids are focused on that.
People wanted to be on Love Island more than they wanted to get into Harvard. Phenomenal. Not surprising. Not surprising at all. That's just, you see, this is something I've never really understood, and it's getting much worse. It's not even Andy Warhol's 15 minutes of fame. It's like 2 seconds of fame, and then it must last forever. You know, and it's an addiction. It is just, I mean, Leanne, I just want to go back to your discussion of all these different shows you watch, and I do think it's hilarious, but I know that it's genuinely for entertainment. Some people are interested in watching those kinds of shows, and obviously people like Dumi and I are just like, we just don't, it doesn't even register for us. It's amazing, though, that there's been this flowering of shows that make ordinary people famous. Not people who have any, you know, talent like Dumi does to make people laugh, for example. A lot of these people are just very ordinary. Some of them are on TV because they're good looking, which I understand. but there's not a lot going on. Like, it's not, you can't sustain this. So they have to do new shows with new people the whole time. Because if you keep the same people coming back, they have to be entertaining, and they're probably not.
Well, that's the thing with like spin-off shows, like the Winter Olympics and Bachelor in Paradise. They bring back people who were interesting and made for good TV. They might be horrible individuals, or they might be amazing individuals.
Right.
So, yeah, they've got to keep doing that. But they never bring back the boring middle-of-the-road ones.
Can I ask you something? Do they do like a psych assessment of these people?
Sure.
Because sometimes I feel like the most exciting people, you can tell there's a screw a little bit loose there, you know? Not enough to need to be medicated, but enough to know.
No, they're definitely people who need to be medicated and aren't, and are quite narcissistic in the fact that they don't realize that they have mental issues. Those are the super entertaining ones. But they keep a good balance because they want the bachelor or bachelorette to find someone who's, you know, sane of mind and a good person. So there's a good balance. And then, of course, you get all of the people who are normal and of normal in inverted commas who are becoming irritated by these other people. So that creates a whole vibe
Don't we also have in South Africa, we have boer soeke vrou, right? So that's like a farmer who's looking for a wife, and then all these girls like kind of audition for the role of being the boer's wife.
Yes, and the Australian version is starting soon. I've got it diarized.
Oh my God, you got it diarized.
So must a woman present farming skills?
Probably.
Like, no, it's definitely versus farmer.
You mean she doesn't have to know how to she doesn't know how to go and get water from the well or skin a pig or any of that stuff. She doesn't have to know that stuff.
No, he's not expecting that. All of that work's left to him. And then just to answer lovely Lady Lee's question about how she says, I always ask myself how the bachelor remembers the names of all the girls.
Oh, right.
At the first rose ceremony. I actually asked Lee that when we had him in studio a while back. And the secret is that they wear an earpiece.
Mm.
But I'm like, which one does he look at when he says the name?
I wouldn't know what the hell. 30 women, can you imagine? Listen. I mean, in some ways, it's obviously just a fantasy. The whole idea is a fantasy. But I don't think these shows are very good. Eventually, we're going to end up with more people on shows than people watching them. Like, there'll be more people doing...
No, it's crazy.
You know what I mean to me? Like, there'll be more people on TV than people actually sitting at home watching TV. It's crazy. All right, so Annette says, no thanks, I can't watch that shit. And then lovely Lady Lee also says, in this age of cancel culture, how have these reality shows been surviving? Because ordinary people who are not really, like, well-versed in media, they're going to make more mistakes than media people. They're going to say things that are outrageous and stupid and backward and racist and dumb. They're going to get into trouble, right? Don't some of these people get fired from the shows?
Yeah, they do. And again, to point to the host. He's been cancelled, you know,
by
culture, so like literal cancel culture.
Look at this. Anami says, there's a new show now. It's called Rum for a Rus. They fly Russian girls to South Africa to meet these guys. Jesus. Really?
Wait till one of these reality TV shows gets uncovered as some kind of human trafficking thing. This is like we're bothering now. Ramfararas.
Yeah. How do you like that? That's amazing. I didn't know about that. Unbelievable.
I must say, though, if I was single, I'd go for boer soeke vrou. Sounds like the kind of reality TV show. I'd be like, meh, I'm bored. Let me go try for a boer. Because, you know, those ones, the ones who speak with a rrrr.
You like that, do me? That turn you on? Well, Lenise said soon there will also be boer soeke ou. That's what, like a gay farmer.
Apparently. Cute. Yeah. I'd watch that.
You reckon?
But also, the Bachelor Nation thing has never got into to something like that, and I wish they would. I really wish they would.
What you mean, like a what? Like
but you
a,
know,
like a gay bachelor.
Yes.
Yeah, but absolutely. You guys, we are living in an age where we're going to try and be forward thinking and open things up like that. But I'm finding that it's a Pandora's box once you hit the LGBTQIA ellipses.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you understand how careful you have to be. That thing about cancel culture is important. Because consider how many people get into trouble because they either don't know enough or they didn't know there was an upgrade. Then you're using the long terminology, you are leaving someone out, you're underrepresenting, overrepresenting, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, because I get exhausted, because sometimes I feel like entertainment needs to be entertainment for entertainment's sake. Like, there are people who wake up angry. Like, you'll read the comments, everybody's in there having a comment, and there's one guy who's just off-ramping because he decided he feels like a fight, you know, because he didn't touch himself in the morning. And then next thing, it's a big hoo-ha, like, but now the bachelors are not black enough, now they're not gay enough, now they're not female enough, now they're not, then the religion will come in. So I just feel like there is something that's also taking away the fun out of this. You understand? Yeah. We're over-policing everything.
I agree. It's become difficult to have conversations about it because you're going to put your foot in it at some point. So I'm going to ask some awkward questions here because I met someone the other day. He claims to be demisexual. So I said to him, so what is that? So he explained it like this. Now, I mean, this is the first time I've ever met anybody who's described themselves that way. He's like, he can only have sex with somebody who he has an emotional bond with. But he says he's straight. So he only has sex with women whom he has emotional bonds with. But isn't that all? It doesn't mean all women are demisexual, or most.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I've had sex with plenty of people that I have absolutely no bond with. I might not even know their name.
Look at you. You saucy, minx. No, so what is, and then we got into this whole conversation. So I said to him, okay, what's the difference between someone who's pansexual, because that's a thing apparently, and someone who's bisexual? What's the difference? And he couldn't answer.
I don't even want to.
Oh, come on, try. Come on. We got to, someone's got to help me understand this shit. I'm not going to get there on my own. So, okay, let's look it up. Let's do pansexual first. Let's find out what that is.
Isn't pansexual, you're a wide spectrum, you're a buffet.
Okay, so pansexuality is a sexual, romantic, or emotional attraction towards people regardless of their sex or gender identity. Pansexual people may refer to themselves as gender blind, asserting that gender and sex are not determining factors. Okay, that's fine. But then what's the difference between that and bisexuality? Right, a bisexual.
Because bisexuality, it's about male or female, isn't it? You're saying have a cis, ui, cause the cis het, ne? So they're going, I will do a biologically male person. I will sleep with both. That's bi.
Then, pan is I'll sleep with a transsexual, someone who identifies as lesbian, someone who identifies as queer, everyone.
That's why in my head, always, that's the image I get in my head when somebody says they're pansexual. It's someone with this big plate at the buffet, and they're going to go berserk. That's always what I think. I'm like, so when they're just generally thirsty, you're just, okay,
wow.
Yeah, open season. Because I had my 10-year-old say he was bi, and I was like, you're bi what? Bi what, my baby? You haven't even sampled the things that people mean when they're talking about these things. Because they were talking about, you know, homosexuality and whatever. Mm. Because I'm finding that the content, even on YouTube and even with music, is that the whole LGBTQI conversation exists everywhere. You know, like I said, I told you, I think, early in the year about the fairy tales that I found that they write now that are same-sex leads and whatever.
Right.
So when he said this, because I was cool with him going, he's gay. At some point he was saying he's trans, he was wearing his sister's clothes, and I was like, okay, it's kids, they explore, whatever, man, whatever you decide, cool, you know, just don't be dependent on me, whatever you decide, even if you decide just straight, as long as you're making money, I don't care what you are, because it has nothing to do with me. But when your 10-year-old says they buy, I'm sitting there going, buy what, how, what do you know, what have you,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Can you even finish the phrase, is the question.
You know?
I'm so glad I didn't have kids.
But you know what? Let's see what happens with reality TV shows when they start to include all of these communities.
Because
you'll see then the fights that come up on the socials. There are certain shows I've never watched. I just follow them on Twitter because I'm there for the fights and I'm there for the arguments and I'm there for, where do you find the time to care this much?
Well, I mean, so Ricey Beck says that the bisexual bachelorette in Australia bombed really badly. I didn't even know there was such a thing. So that's interesting. Bhavesh says it's just attention-seeking. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Demisexual is the baby of pansexual and a pansexual. That's dude 69. I don't even know whether to laugh at that or not, because I'm not sure whether that is, you know, it's so confusing, this whole thing. It's very confusing.
Demisexual is when you like people who look like Demi Moore.
Eventually we're going to have so many categories here that you are going to end up with people who are only attracted to taller, but not necessarily as clever, with blue eyes instead of brown, and they must have one leg shorter than the other. And there's going to be a word for that category, and then it's just going to become ridiculous. Like, you're attracted to who you're attracted to, and nobody actually cares. Just do your thing. You be you.
Be a yam sexual. A yam sexual sleeps yum. With whatever is yummy and can wear.
What do you identify as? I'm sexual.
That's where it's going to end up, right? Oh, my God.
Which one? All of them.
Well, listen, we've got one or two quick headlines before we wrap it up for this morning, because I can't believe how quickly time has gone by. And I just got to tell you that our podcast of the week, this is important. There's no denying things would be very different without cars in our lives. But the automobile had a difficult start to life, going through many trials and even more errors, many made difficult by some who called it either unnecessary or dangerous or evil. Yep, there were people who used to call a car evil. Find out more in episode 5 of Opposed to Innovation, the stories of technologies that changed the world, that is brought to you by BMW. You can get it on cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's all there. Go and listen to that. It is called Opposed to Innovation, the stories of technologies that changed the world, brought to you by BMW and cliffcentral.com. Go and check that out.
That makes a lot of sense, considering things like, you know, in the Bible, the book of Revelations says that we're all meeting our demise by having chips inserted to us, into us. And people were against, even when SIM cards came out.
That's right.
They were like, oh, this is the whole tracking thing. And you think now about vaccines and the whole conspiracy theory that they're inserting a microchip into us. It's not surprising that cars faced a bit of a difficult journey.
Listen to this. We were talking about the weather, and, you know, we always say that people who talk about the weather are boring, but the South African Weather Service issued a level 4 warning just yesterday for disruptive rain over parts of at least 5 provinces for today and tomorrow. The wet weather could continue into the weekend, and it comes as parts of Pretoria are experiencing flooding due to downpours in the early hours of Thursday morning. Gauteng can expect cloudy weather with some widespread showers and thundershowers in northern parts of the province. And they're saying basically over the next few weeks, a lot of rain in most of the provinces. Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal. So those areas, they're expecting 50 to 60 mils of rain over a 24-hour period, which is a lot. So be careful.
Can I ask, do you feel like it's possible Cyril has supernatural powers?
And he's brought the rain.
I feel like he's left us on level 1, but he's given us level 5 rain. Like, yeah, if I'm on level 1, I'll sort them out.
This is
level 5 rain. No one can get out anyway.
It's a good point, because people don't like to, they don't like to go out when it's raining, hey? Nobody likes to go anywhere when it's
raining.
Well,
we can't go to the beach, we can't go hiking, all of that stuff, so...
You don't even have quiet touch time, because there's the boom happening, so you can't relax and do what needs to be done.
You can't hear if anyone's coming down the passage and they're going to bust you.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it's funny that a lot of people are also now saying, oh, well, you know, this is proof of, you know, climate change and all the rest of it. But yes, I look back, you know how Facebook sends you those memories? And I look back, and 11 years ago, I was complaining about how much rain there was. 11 years, that's how long I've been on bloody Facebook. First of all, that's embarrassing. But second of all, that I was complaining about the rain 11 years ago is even more embarrassing. So let's not get too caught up in this stuff. It's ridiculous.
I don't know why you just admitted that.
Because I think it's hilarious that we all think we're evolving. And here I am complaining about the same things 11 years later.
Yeah.
I don't like these Facebook memories. They sometimes come up and you think, what a stupid thing to say, or why did I post that? know, why did I put up a picture of that stupid situation? So I'm almost embarrassed to check when it says, you have a memory. I go, uh-oh. We can see.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so it says, so Bavish says here, for example, it had hectic hailstorms and rain yesterday in Matsap. Okay, that's where Bavish is. November is flooding and immediate future.
Where's Matsapa?
I don't know where Matsapa is. Anybody?
Okay.
Do we know where that is?
No. I'm making the Googlings.
Mm. Matsapa is in Swaziland.
Swaziland.
Hmm. Okay. No wonder we didn't know where it was. All right. Very good. Lovely lady Lee says Centurion is underwater. Well, not completely, but yeah, there was quite a lot of flooding yesterday. So, all right, one last thing from the news before we wrap it up for this morning. Apparently, this is brilliant. We're soon going to have eye drops that could replace glasses for millions of people. Leanne, you wear glasses. Would you rather just take a couple of eye drops and be able to see perfectly? Of course you would, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw this, I thought it was like a story from The Onion or something.
Mm.
I'm like, how can eye drops change your vision? But apparently this is a thing. They've now been approved in the US. It's for people usually in general, like in their 40s, where your vision starts to get a little bit blurry. So they're not talking about people like me who wear prescription glasses. I mean, I'll drive into a pole if I don't have my glasses on. But they're talking about, you know, that little bit of blurriness where you have to kind of magnify things that are close to your face or pull them away.
Yeah.
And also those things that people have, what are they called? Books. those as well. So apparently, yeah, and it's from the company Allergan. We know Allergan from eye drops that we've been using all the time. 30-day supply costs $80. the side effects include red eyes and headaches.
Oh, God.
I mean,
no, then it,
I don't know if I'd want that.
So rather wear your glasses.
Yeah, just wear the glasses.
Grandma.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But apparently it lasts for a few weeks once you've had these drops.
But your glasses last for, like, ever.
As long, so as long as you don't drive over them.
$80 a month.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm turning 40 next week. I'm actually, when you said that, I laughed because I'm thinking my eyesight has become a bit dodgy. I had to go upgrade
I saw a TikTok video yesterday of a guy at the doctor's going, I can't see my cell phone properly anymore. And the doctor's like, well, you're in your 40s. It's going to happen.
Oh, my God. I know. I don't want to.
I mean, you saw I'm at the point where I have to do this whole bifocal thing.
That was so sexy when you did that. Doomy. You're turning 40. Are you nervous about this? Have you
next week Wednesday?
Are you having a bit of a crisis about it, or are you good?
I'm excited. Look, health-wise, I'm worried because suddenly there's all this stuff. Like, I went to go see my gynae. I went for my annual pap smear. And then he was like, oh, you're turning 40. Now we have to do the mammogram, and we have to do your, I don't know, check other things, full physical. He was like, you're being a full physical because, you know, you're at that age. But I am excited because I found that I'm giving less and less of an F, which is wonderful. I really... As much as I was out there, I cared to a degree what people think. Now I'm going, I need to ration my facts that I give. I'm absolutely rationing them very carefully. I can't just give them out all willy-nilly. So I'm really looking forward to doing it 4.0.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. And you know, listen, I can tell you, I've been in the 40s now for a couple of years, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. That very last reason you gave is the best reason, because you actually stop worrying about what other people think. You don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You live for you.
So, yeah, because even with men, I find men in their 40s very attractive. I don't know why. Like, for years, I've it's always been interesting when I've had a little bit of a crush. And then I find out the person's in their 40s. And I was like, what is up with guys in their 40s? They're always the crush that I have.
Well, maybe they just develop a confidence later in life that, you know, there's a lot of immaturity and insecurity before that happens.
Yeah.
And also, I suppose, you know, it's easier being a guy and getting older because you have other things that you can rely on where, you know, if you're a girl who's always just relied on your looks, those go quickly. And that's not something you can bank on in your 40s. Whereas, you know, for men, we just have to make a lot of money. Then we're still suddenly interesting to women. We make a lot of money, or we become wise, or we become more sensible, less childish and dumb. Because let's face it, also, a lot of men they get stuck in adolescence well into their 20s and 30s. It takes us longer to mature. Yeah. To
One only has to watch the Jackass movies to understand that.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Tooms, it's always good to see you, and thank you for joining us this morning. We love you lots, and all the people in the comments have been saying how great you are, so wonderful to have you back. And we will talk to you soon.
Not
have
all, a, have, most. Have someone who's being a bitch.
Was there someone who's being a bitch? I didn't see that.
Yeah,
yes.
I know that.
Listen, happy birthday for next week. You see, you're such a comedian. You always focus on the one person in the audience who's not laughing.
I know.
Don't do it. Be 40-something and don't give a shit.
Exactly. We love you. Happy birthday for next week and happy Christmas for next week.
Yeah.
You guys as well. Be safe, everyone who listened and is watching and is loving us. Have a great one. and then is it Vivash, the one, the wife with the turkey? Don't forget to send us the picture. You'll send to me also, Ms. Gareth. I want to see the curry turkey.
The curry turkey. Thank That's you. What we're looking for. All right. Lots of love. We will see you on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.